This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
Baseball's Dark Secret.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Scott J. Gow. Today, the long-awaited Mitchell report on steroids finally comes to light. People who've seen the report say it exposes a serious drug culture within baseball. It names more than 60 current and former players linked to performance-enhancing drugs. Former Senator George Mitchell releases his findings at 2 p.m. Eastern. Baseball Commissioner Bud Selig will hold a news conference after that. Then what? Here's Steve Tripoli.
Los Angeles Times baseball writer Bill Shaken says the tone of the report will dictate baseball's direction after today.
If it turns into a blame game, it's going to deteriorate into a mess between the owners, the players, their union, and Commissioner Selig. If the report offers some concrete suggestions as well, that may help clear up the sport for the future.
Shaken says neither path is likely to hurt baseball's bottom line. After all, there was no big shock after widely covered congressional hearings on drug use a while back.
If you look at baseball's business since then, the revenues have only gone up to record levels. Attendance has gone up to record levels.
And no one's decided to stop watching ball games. Will teams treat tarnished players differently? Here's one clue. The Kansas City Royals just threw $36 million at free agent Jose Guillen, knowing he was about to be suspended for drug use. He got 15 days. I'm Steve Tripoli for Marketplace.
Yesterday, the Federal Reserve and central banks in Canada and Europe unveiled this plan to get more cash into the banking system. The stock markets are pretty skeptical. In Tokyo today, the Nikkei fell 2.5%. European shares are also down quite a bit this morning. The Dow starts out at 13,473 after struggling to make gains yesterday. It did add 41 points. The Nasdaq was up 18. The S&P 500 climbed 8 points. The New York Mercantile Exchange and some big Wall Street banks plan to open a new market, not for trading stocks, for trading carbon emissions. Sarah Gardner reports from our sustainability desk.
The Green Exchange will open early next year. NYMEX and its partners want a piece of the fast-growing market in carbon allowances. Greenhouse gases are already capped and traded in Europe, and they soon will be in some U.S. states. Carbon expert Peter Fusaro says the financial markets foresee the future more clearly than the White House.
It's been a real disconnect not having federal leadership here. Wall Street already gets it.
Fusaro expects other carbon markets to emerge as well, but he says the Green Exchange has a leg up. NYMEX is the world's largest commodities exchange, and big carbon emitters like energy companies already trade there. Andrew Ertel, CEO of Evolution Markets, says the Green Exchange won't just trade carbon credits.
It will also cover everything from renewables to emissions to potentially water trading in the future.
Ertel figures close to $75 billion was traded in carbon credits this year alone. I'm Sarah Gardner for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Thrivent Financial for Lutherans. Introducing ThriveQ, an online tool that helps you know where you stand on your path to retirement. More at ThriveQ.com. And by BNY Mellon Wealth Management. Since 1784, helping successful individuals and families protect and maximize wealth. BNYMellonWealthManagement.com. Conversations from the Corner Office, Dialogues with Top CEOs, is supported by Society for Human Resource Management. Online at shrm.org.
Time for a visit from our economics correspondent, Chris Farrell. The last time he was on, Chris argued for getting rid of the mortgage tax deduction and the real estate capital gains advantage. Boy, did the emails come pouring in. And Chris, some people weren't very nice to you.
I'll say. People were sending me to various places.
We can't repeat all of them on the air, but I thought we might go through a couple of them. We'll start with one listener who says, what is this guy thinking? The reason we have a tax deduction for mortgage interest is because housing is a necessity, not an investment in the same way stocks and bonds are an investment. What do you say to that, Chris?
First of all, housing is not optional. Yes. All I'm saying is you just don't have to have a tax deduction worth $80 billion a year to support it. Other nations have very high levels of home ownership without the mortgage tax deduction. There's the rental option. You might end up with a smaller home.
I think this listener, and in this thread kind of runs through some of the emails we got, is saying, I do have a small house. And here's another one. I think if you take away the tax deduction, you are once again penalizing the middle class. And that seems to be the theme. People are saying, we don't have big houses here. We don't have McMansions. This is really the only way we can afford even a modest home.
Well, I think that's the real serious complaint. We've been weaned on this mortgage interest deduction. And then in 1997, they changed the capital gains law. So if you're a single person, you can sell your home, have a profit of $250,000, and pay no taxes. A couple, $500,000. Now, these are very valuable deductions in capital gains treatment. I understand that. But what I'm saying is stocks are important. Bonds are important. Why are we favoring real estate over these other investments? And in 2005, we had about a third of private investment in this country was pouring into residential real estate. This is bad public policy.
Yeah, Chris, there seems to be a dichotomy here with people who are in the middle class. But then you also have on the other side, the speculators, people who are flipping houses. And that's where people have taken advantage of this new tax law.
That's right. I have no problem with speculation. All I want to see is that real estate, stocks, bonds, gold, I don't care what investment we're talking about, that they all be treated the same when it comes to taxes. Because then the individual is making a decision on where they think the best prospects are. And by the way, most of the wealth of this country is being created by corporations, and they benefit when investors decide we're going to put some money into equity.
Well, Chris, you are entitled to your opinion, and the idea of this show is to generate discussion and hear from various points of view. We're going to put your feet to the fire with these emails.
From the seventh circle of hell, I've really enjoyed these emails. A number of good points, and I still feel real estate should not be a tax-favored investment.
All right, Chris Farrell, our economics correspondent. Thanks.
Thanks.
In Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Thanks for tuning in. Have a great day.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.